Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a solo episode today, another one. Today's episode is actually inspired by one of you guys, one of my listeners. I love hearing from you guys, where you're at and how the episodes are impacting you. It's always so fun to read your comments, but I was sort of planning my podcast and I was going to release a different episode this week. And I kind of felt like, no, I think I want to do a solo episode. And I'm not really sure what topic to talk about because I ended up doing two episodes on transition because there was so much to unpack in that. And man, just like so many people are either feeling or sensing they're about to go in a transition or they're in the middle of it and they don't know where they're going, or they find themselves on the other side and they're dealing with the aftermath of a big transition. And so I think that that topic's still very important to people right now, but I felt like when I had this listener reach out, she reached out and talked about something in one of the episodes on surrender that I talked about. And so that is the topic I want to tackle today and talk about, like, how do we surrender? And if you come from a faith background, you probably have a grid for this idea of surrender. But if you don't, I think we all can relate to that moment where we kind of get to the end of ourselves, where we just don't know. We're kind of at a blank. We don't know what to do or how to move forward or how to deal with a relationship. We all reach these moments of uncertainty, and it's kind of part of our human experience. But I'm also aware of some people who listen to my podcast don't have a faith background. And I don't think that, I think that you can totally listen to this episode and relate to it. But obviously I'm going to be sharing surrender through my story, and my story, the center of my story is faith. And so it's kind of that place where we get to the end of ourselves, where we have tried to overthink a million ways to solve an issue in front of us or to make something happen. And surrender is something we usually arrive at. And so I'm going to unpack that, but I'm in the middle of really processing a real-time surrender. I'm this week actually surrendering and taking action on something, which is a real cutting ties and letting go. And it feels quite vulnerable. Well, it doesn't feel as vulnerable now, but it definitely was vulnerable. And we're not going to share what it is, but I will share that this thing that I'm surrendering is it represents a lot to me. And so when I come to you to talk about this, I'm really coming from real time experience. Anyway, so when I think about surrender, just to give you a bit of a definition, the definition of a surrender is generally refers to the act of giving up control, power, or resistance to something or someone. It's often voluntary. It involves relinquishing one's hold over a situation or idea or even personal will in favor of accepting or yielding to another force, person, or circumstance. It's really interesting because I've taught Wholehearted Artists and I've taught in many different cultures and to many internationals, and we can actually have different definitions culturally. And I know I have listeners on my podcast listening from all around the world. So when I talk about surrender, I'm not talking like the military definition, which is the act of giving up in conflict, laying down arms, acknowledging defeat, and ceasing resistance. Like, I'm not talking about we're giving up. And something I said in the last episode was we're giving unto. We're actually, and I believe, giving to a good God. You know, surrender, like if you have to surrender something in your life, it really means that it's actually really a beautiful thing. It means that something means something to you, that you had the vulnerability and the courage to want something. And sometimes, like, we don't like to be in vulnerable positions where we want something or desire something and we have to surrender it, because I know a lot of people, and myself included, like, I'd rather go into self-protection and be like, it doesn't really matter. You know, I want to avoid disappointment, because I don't know, sometimes we feel like if we're disappointed that something didn't work out, that it's shameful or weak. But I think if you're in a position where you need to surrender, I just want to say that that's beautiful. And the fact that you have something so precious that you want to release is a beautiful thing. But I've kind of like processed, like, because a lot of people with surrender, they kind of use it as a bit of a formula, especially in the Christian faith. It's kind of like, if I surrender, then I'll get X, Y, and Z. Like, you know, it's kind of like, if I forgive this person, then I'm going to have them, you know, I'm going to have some desired outcome. But surrender is really like giving up. Like, I was in a conversation with someone and they really wanted to have relationship with this person, and they'd gone through so much pain, and they said, yep, I forgave them, but they were really wanting relationship. And so they were like, yep, I forgave them. Yep. And I definitely surrendered it, but I'm so mad that they haven't wanted to be friends and they haven't wanted to like pursue connection. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not really surrender. Like, it's not these steps that you go through. And so really, when I start talking about like the process of how to surrender today, just be mindful that it's not a manipulation tactic. It's not like, oh, I'm going to surrender and then I'll get this good thing. But there is some truth to it. Like, when we surrender to a good God, I'm actually believing that He knows me better than I know myself. And maybe the thing that I wanted, He's like, actually, I have something even better for you. Like, I actually just believe that that's God's nature towards us. But I do think that sometimes we do all these steps, but we actually don't do the process. And I think the difference would be is I'm checking off the checklist of like, I forgave that person. I read that scripture about trusting that God, and then I gave up and now I'm waiting for the thing to happen. But surrendering is really like becoming detached to the outcome. But ultimately, I have this belief that good things will happen. And that actually takes a lot of healing for me to be able to say that. Like, I'm not just saying some sort of like silver lining thing. It's like actually a belief that I've built up very, very intentionally for 10 years. I've grown like a faith muscle or a trust muscle in experiencing for myself in my personal relationship with God, moments where He's come through and shown up for me in ways that have shown me that He's a good Father that I can trust. And so to unpack some of the process is that I believe that surrender is something we arrive at our own time. And we can't spiritually bypass our way to surrender, because I think that a lot of Christians can have their checklist of like, what's the right way to respond as a Christian? Oh, I surrendered my life. I did that. But I think that we have to, in order to surrender, it's actually quite a vulnerable process, because we've had people, authority figures, whether it's parents or even spiritual leaders, fail us. And so to surrender to God, like, we're actually, it's a vulnerable thing to trust someone. And so it makes sense to me if you feel like you're in that space where you're clinging so tight and you're obsessing and you're overthinking about your situation, whether you're obsessing about your future and thinking about your career or your stressed about finances or you're stressed about relationships and you need your marriage to thrive more and you need your kids to be okay and you've been obsessing and OCD looping and trying to solve it the best way you can, you're listening to all the talks. And so it makes sense that it would be hard to surrender because your kids matter to you. Your marriage matters to you. Your future matters to you. And so doing this quick like bumper sticker, just surrender, like actually misses a lot of like wounding that needs to be tended to. And so my next point is like that surrender is actually a sensation that you feel in your body. And so as I was sort of processing this thing that I'm letting go of, it's interesting because I knew I was in a process of surrender, but I didn't want anyone to rush me to that decision. I didn't want anyone to give me the silver lining of why it's going to all work out. I actually needed to sit in the, for a little while, like I actually needed to sit in the, well, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to give this thing up. And I know some of you are in romantic relationships. You're like, I know I need to get out of this, but I don't want to. Like, we actually need to just be honest and say, you know, I actually don't want to give this thing up. And really, like, let yourself be a stubborn teenager and be honest about it. When I could be really honest about the fact that I don't want to give this up, and I know that I'm probably going to arrive at some point where I let go and release it, actually helped me feel heard from myself and even heard by God of like, this sucks. This is painful. I can actually invite compassion into that place of, yeah, I'm scared that if I give this up, like, and you're getting really honest, like you're not, you need to, like so many people are just not honest with themselves and they don't know that they're allowed to be. And being honest is such a huge part of the process of really fully having that full surrendered feeling. And it's really interesting, the more honest I got, the more at peace I could like edge towards like, yeah, I think I'm getting to that space of surrender. But then I would still have like the kind of like, I'd go back to, yeah, but what about this option? And I'd go back to looping about how to solve the issue and think of it from different angles because I'm a coach and I love to reframe things. And what if I dealt with it from this angle? And then I was like listening to something and it was like some sort of meditation kind of thing that I was listening to. And I was actually doing my morning pages, which is an artist way thing. And I was processing this decision about letting this thing go. And in the music I was listening to, the man said in it, "You don't need doubt because you already know." And sometimes I can be like, I need God to say to me to let it go, or I need something that's not someone controlling me or being biased towards me to give me a suggestion. I need someone unbiased to tell me what I should do. And then when I heard that phrase, it was so timely. It was like almost like I'd enlisted doubt to like almost like, because I get this a lot in coaching people, but I also struggle with it myself, is we'll ask a question and you'll be like, I don't know. And I think because a lot of my childhood, I had of like a lot of learned helplessness. And so my default sometimes when it's a really big decision, I can go into this helpless, like, I don't know. And something that I'm strengthening in myself is this self-trust. And so, yeah, and that's kind of how I came to the decision of like, I actually really already do know what I need to do, but I did need to let my inner teenager out that didn't want to make the decision and let that part of me be heard. And then I kind of came to that kind of settled peace feeling of like, oh, I do know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not going to go to a million people asking for their advice. I'm just going to trust that that is the right thing that I need to do. And coming back to the body sensation, it actually feels quite holy when you land at that place of surrender. It's not like sometimes with gratitude, we tell people to be grateful because there's starving kids in Africa. And it's like this Christian attitude adjustment thing that we try and do. Surrender is not an attitude adjustment. And that's why I'm like, that's why you actually need to take some time to get to surrender. It's kind of like almost like you encounter it. It's like once you really process pain or process disappointment, you can get to this really powerful, holy place where you are kind of, yeah, like there's this beautiful heavenly exchange that takes place where you surrender that thing that's so vulnerable and so precious to you. But you know that you're surrendering to a really good God that has your best interest, that actually has, in Ephesians, it talks about he has manifold wisdom, like there's so much wisdom. And so I'm kind of surrendering my little human logic brain to this incredible God that's created the universe. And so there's a peace that comes with that, but then there's also a untethered feeling of like, oh, I'm not surrendering to manipulate God to get me something, if that makes sense. So if you find yourself in a position where you're not in surrender, it's probably for a good reason. And I just want to acknowledge that. And I think that a huge part of surrender is actually unblocking emotions, but also bringing compassion to places in our subconscious that have made up stories about who we are or who God is. And so, you know, like often when we have to trust something, it's so vulnerable, it brings up our self-protection of like, if I surrender, I'm going to actually not have someone show up for me. It can trigger our inner child wounding or moments of lack or disappointment or where people haven't shown up for us in the past. And so that's why I'm like quite fierce in my like, take your time. Because there's tender places in your heart where people have failed you. And when we're surrendering, I think the most vulnerable thing someone can do is surrender their kids. Like if your kids aren't doing well and you've tried every parenting trick in the book, like that can be a space of real helplessness and powerlessness. And I think that your heart needs to be tended to in that. And you need to experience compassion from God in that. But also looking at the places, it kind of pulls on our own not enoughness as well, where you feel like you're not capable and you should be more capable to not be in the situation that you find yourself in. So I think that this is where you can turn towards yourself and show compassion towards yourself and recognize like, oh, I'm actually having a lot of resistance here because in my past, I didn't experience a lot of safety in trusting people or trusting myself. And so the beautiful thing is, and there's hope in this, we can actually repair our stories. And I've had really significant experiences with God, like encounters with God, where it's shifted, like it's put so much trust in my bank account that it feels like there's been so much repair from either past pain or past disappointment with people because the encounter like just made me really believe that I could trust him. But I understand some people listening like haven't gone on that journey. And so it's really helpful sometimes to listen to other people's faith stories because it's a testimony. And in the Bible, it talks about like a testimony. There is a spirit of prophecy inside the testimony that like God can do it for you. And I think a huge part of my past 10 years have really been like, I actually moved to America and went to a ministry school because I needed to know that God was real for me and have like a real experience that was authentic and not just, oh, this is the right way to live your life morally. And it wasn't about morals, it was about love. And so with my relationship with God, like I have learned and experienced so many little micro moments of little God winks, little God moments, but also like some really significant big ones that have actually helped heal and reshape my trust in myself, my trust that things will work out in my future. And so I can actually rumble through this journey of surrender, knowing that I have all this history in my bank account. And so when I tap into gratitude, I'm not doing it because it's the right thing to do to be grateful. I'm actually doing it and in a way to rehearse in my mind all the moments where I've been in similar situations where I've been at the end of myself. I've done everything I can. And then I've had to release like control. I've gone through all those moments, and like sometimes doing that can bring up unsafety and pain because you're like, where was God in that moment? And I really do get it. That's so valid. But I also have like built history in Him. And when I didn't, like years ago, when I didn't have a history in God where I'd seen Him come through, I would borrow other people's stories where I'd hear, oh, He came through for them financially, or He came through, wow, that wisdom came in and helped them with that divine solution for their business. Or, you know, I've kind of like had these experiences, and it's like I build a bank. And so when I'm feeling like anxious or knowing I have to surrender, I go back and rehearse those moments of history, and I can't help but feel faith and peace. And it's really interesting, like faith feels like this abstract, like you either have it or you don't, or you conjure it up. But to me, faith is actually very mathematical. It's very like, okay, this situation, I did not know how that was going to work out. And then it came through and this happened. And, you know, it's given me a whole bank of experience to know that when I surrender, I'm surrendering to someone who is really for me, that's biased towards me, that has my best interests at heart, that's intentional about my life, that has a plan for my life. But I've actually had to like sit with all of those things of like, oh, I actually have pain where someone wasn't intentional towards me, or like didn't teach me how to do these things. And so I've actually had to meditate and learn that, you know, there's so many names of God, and that's just who He is. He's a teacher. So if I'm in a situation where I feel like no one taught me how to do this, then I really pull on like, well, He's a teacher and He's going to teach me. And I've been able to rewire my brain to like see God that way. And then usually someone will come into my life at the right time and be like, let me teach you how to do this. It's very magical. It's very amazing. So I think that's how, like, that's sort of been like my faith and my learning how to trust God has been repaired in little micro moments, but it's also come through in ways where when you focus on it, it increases. So it's like, well, you go, you're shifting your bias to look at the negative situations, and you're shifting it into the positive. So I just encourage you to do as an exercise is to start looking at moments in your story where you didn't know what was going to happen and it worked out. And I know that that can be tender. I know that sometimes we have places in our story, whether it's with trauma or experiences where that sounds like a good idea, Ella, but that actually feels like a really painful exercise, and you don't have to do this exercise if it brings up more pain. But I invite you to just go on the journey to get a little bit closer to the idea that God is good and He has your back and He has a solution. And so overall, like, our goal is to get to a place where we can relax into surrender. Like, when I feel surrendered, like I mentioned, it's usually quite tender, emotional, but also my body feels like heavy, not in like a, oh, I have the weight of the world heavy on my shoulders, but you know when you like relax into a comfy big couch and you're just so relaxed, like I can feel like a weightiness of like, oh, I'm just fully released of something that's been burdening me. and there's tenderness, sometimes emotions, and it just feels really sweet. Like it's actually, even though there might be a little bit of grief there, but there's still a sweet tenderness there. And so I think in closing, in talking about this topic, I just think again about seasons of our life. We're going to have these moments where we come to the end of ourselves and we do everything we can, because surrender isn't passive. Surrender, sometimes when I experience people, they'll kind of come across quite apathetic. They'll be like, yeah, I only want to do the will of God. I've really surrendered my life. But they actually feel quite hopeless. They're saying all the quote unquote right things, but it's actually like beautiful, because God put dreams in your heart. He wants you to go after them, but He also wants to go on the journey with us. So I think that surrender isn't like, you know, I just don't care. Like, I think that we can get to that place, and I think that I'm more in that place now, but I think that the real surrender process is a gutsy one. It's quite a street fight. It can sometimes feel a little messy, a little bit like a fight, a struggle to get there. And so that would feel like an authentic surrender versus this, yes, I'm a good girl and I surrendered my life, you know? Anyway, so in closing, coming back to seasons, I think that as we go through different seasons of our life, there will have to be shedding of old seasons. And we think like, wow, that's so beautiful, that idea of shedding things. But shedding is actually quite painful. Like, it's the letting go. And so I'm learning that that letting go is not an end. It's an act of renewal. So it's a rebirth. And the more that I've healed, the more I realize the importance of shedding and starting over. That I think that when you heal, there's just layers. And so there needs to be shedding. And it's this beautiful renewal that can happen in your identity. And I'm just learning, and not that I've done this well, but I'm learning to not fight the shedding and not fight the starting over. I'm learning to surrender along the way. And when you think about it, like with the seasons, like, you know, when it's autumn is turning into winter, the leaves don't fight to stay on the trees. They just shed. They just release. And then we go into the cycle of winter. And then what's beautiful, once that cycle ends, the spring comes and then we bloom again. And so just trust that if you feel like you're in a shedding season where the autumn leaves are coming off and you're feeling like you're in this stark winter season where you're like, I don't know what's happening, it's just dark, just keep saying yes. Just keep saying yes in the dark. And then one day God will turn on the light. And it'll be spring again, and there'll be beautiful blossoms in the tree, and it's time. And just trust that there will be a season of blossoming. Just as there are seasons of stripping, there will be seasons of blossoming. And I think more and more I'm just coming in step with that idea and coming surrendered to that idea that there will be seasons of this throughout my life and that I don't have to fight it, because it overall will be good and for my renewal. Anyway, I hope today has felt insightful, and I'm working on a few episodes on how to process your emotions. So if you guys have any questions about emotions or have some topics inside emotions that you want me to explore, please reach out to me either on social media or you can send me an email through my website. I would love to hear what's happening in your world and what topics you'd like me to explore. And you can also suggest guests as well to come on the podcast. But I love interacting with you guys and I want to involve you more in my episodes. So please feel free to reach out, and yeah, excited to go on the journey with you. Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at nextbravethingpodcast.